Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel has filed an appeal regarding a case involving a church that has been shut down, locked out of services for months in the state of Florida. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, to me, it's so important that we're representing this church, but it, on the other side, it grieves me. I mean, it's been, what, at least 6 months? They have not been able to meet in their building. I mean, you're talking about a church to be able to go and worship and hear the word of God, but yet some people that are interested in the money are stopping them from doing so.
Yeah, so there's two lawsuits going on. There's one on behalf of the pastor, on behalf of the church, and then there's one that's filed in federal court on behalf of attendees, congregants.
But it's a condominium association that's trying to stop them and kick them out, right?
Yeah, so there's like a condo association of a storefront series of buildings.
It was in a strip mall.
And that association has a provision that essentially prohibits public gatherings or public assemblies.
But there are businesses in there that have gatherings.
Right. And so the church bought the storefront. They went to the zoning officials and they got approval. Obviously, the condo association people were fully aware of all mm-hmm. that. And they got approval to have a church there. And then they started to meet, and somebody with the condo association, that association then filed suit to stop the church from meeting. Now, here's the problem. They're saying that they don't want a church there. They're actually saying that having a church in this storefront brings down the value. So they're specifically saying in their public statements they don't want a religious meeting because it actually brings down the values.
That's ridiculous.
What other kinds of public assemblies do they have? Well, first of all, they allow bingo games. That's a public assembly.
Because there's a lot of
There's one of the
business
various businesses there. There's also other kinds of businesses that
fraternal
have a lot
order
of public,
police or something.
Fraternal order
yeah.
of police. They have bingo games.
Yeah, bingo. That's it.
They have bingo games. So bingo games are not their employees.
Right.
They're inviting people from the
and
outside.
They're not virtual.
To gather and they're gambling, playing bingo. So that's a public assembly. And that's okay.
And isn't there a store in there too? So
there's also like a Dollar General store. They're obviously inviting a lot of people there from a commercial standpoint. So what the condo association is saying is, yeah, but they don't want a religious assembly. And so the judge, when the judge got involved in this case, the judge ruled that, well, no, you can't meet for religious purposes. Coastal Family Church in Flagler Beach, Florida, cannot meet for religious purposes. Now, you can meet for secular purposes, and you can meet for administrative purposes, but you can't have assembly for religious purposes.
Kind of interesting. The judge's name is Upchurch.
Yeah, Upchurch. So now that case is ongoing, and we're representing Coastal Family Church in that particular matter. But then there's another case, and this is on behalf of the congregants, people who are our invitees. They have a right to be there. They're invited to be there by the pastor, so they have a right to be there. So they're not trespassers, in other words.
So they filed a lawsuit as well.
So we filed a lawsuit on their behalf, and now it's at the Court of Appeals. And we're seeking an injunction against the state court order. We're naming the state court judge in her official capacity, not against her as an individual, but against the state court in its official capacity, because that's where the injunction is issued. These are non-parties, so they can't appeal anything. So they have no recourse other than to file an affirmative lawsuit. And we actually did this before in the 1990s. Liberty Counsel filed a lawsuit. We actually defended a case where an abortion clinic came after Judy Madsen and Ed Martin, trying to stop them from gathering outside of an abortion clinic in Melbourne, Florida. And then it said, and anybody acted in concert with them. So anybody who was like-minded, that injunction applied to them as well. So we ended up filing on behalf of Myrna Scheffer against the state court judge McGregor. It was called Scheffer versus McGregor. We went to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals and won 3-0. And that's what ultimately set up a conflict that went to the United States Supreme Court. And that was my first Supreme Court oral argument in 1994, Madsen versus Women's Health Clinic in Melbourne. It's no longer there now. It's gone.
What was the outcome of that?
Well, it was a mixed outcome. We won part of it, and part of it was affirmed. So we won. The majority of the injunctions were struck down as unconstitutional. A minor in buffer zone in front of the clinic was upheld. But the other buffer zones around, the larger buffer zones around the clinic and around the private property, they were all struck down as unconstitutional. Mm. But that's what ultimately got us to the United States Supreme Court, is this separate federal lawsuit. So that's what we're doing here.
But it's very unusual, though, isn't it, to file a lawsuit against a judge?
Yeah, but Sarah, if you have a judge here that issues an order and it implicates the First Amendment, free speech, and that implicates that for non-parties who have a right to actually speak, then they have no recourse other than to file a federal lawsuit. And that's what happened in the Scheffer versus McGregor case. So Here, what you have are invitees, congregants. They're invited to be present. They are lawfully there when they go on the property, and they can lawfully speak in administrative language, whatever that is. So they can gather for administrative purposes. And they can gather together there for secular assembly. But when that assembly now becomes religious, it's prohibited. So what happens? Well, they could be punished. The person who invited them, the pastor, could be punished and held in contempt because he invited people for a religious assembly. So the question is, when does their assembly move from being permissible, secular, and administrative to impermissible, religious? When does that happen? So if they meet and they wanted to prepare a budget, is that administrative? Well, what if they wanted to pray over that budget? What if they were celebrating that they were able to meet budget and now they wanted to have praise and worship at the end of it? Does that now transfer that administrative meeting into a religious one that's no longer permissible? So that's the problem. It's really a vague, unconstitutional order that prohibits these invitees who have a right to be there from engaging in a religious assembly or religious speech. And at some point in time, their administrative or secular assembly that is apparently permissible. For example, if they wanted to meet there for bingo, I guess that would be okay because somebody else nearby, the Fraternal Order of Police, is already having bingo games. But what if they wanted to pray? Or at the end of it, they wanted to thank the Lord and have communion or have a Bible study. Is that now unconstitutional? And we don't know because the judge's order is so vague.
Yeah, but yet, like you mentioned, they're having bingo games, they can have flea markets, car shows, or whatever, you know, and they're not in the church, regardless of what has been brought up. They're not filling up the parking lot. They're not causing a problem there. It's a peaceful assembly. It's a church, for heaven's sake, you know, and these people have a vested interest in being able to meet and worship the Lord. And so this is just evil, I think.
Evil. Our lawsuit and our arguments show that this so-called condominium association permits public assembly among the other tenants of the strip mall that include, as you mentioned, bingo nights, flea markets, car shows, and more. But prohibiting Coastal Family from gathering singles out religion, prohibiting them from inviting people to gather for religious purposes, whatever that is, singles out religion. And that's in violation of the First Amendment. And sadly, the state court order issued by the judge, actually prohibits assembly based upon the content of that assembly. So if the content is secular or administrative, it's okay.
What if you're having a car show and you start preaching the gospel? hello.
We don't know. You know, at this point in time, it sounds like it's unconstitutional, or it's, I should say, it's permitted. And
but that's
I think
free
that's
speech.
Unconstitutional.
That's free speech, right?
Well, it is free speech. And, you know, one of the things, if you have an injunction, it has to be like precise. It can't use a chainsaw, it needs to use a surgeon's scalpel, because the consequences of going too broad or too vague restrict free speech, chill speech, and that's the problem with this kind of prior restraint, this kind of vague order. Continue to pray for the Coastal Family Church and the congregants. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.